Welcome to A Cast of the Past, where best friends get together to talk about old games in a new light and sometimes gaming topics. Today is one of those times, because we're going to be talking about Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. I'm Josh.
And I'm Tom.
And yes, the Fighter Pass 2 had its first character launch a couple days ago, so we are here to talk about what's going to be the other five. Who are they? What kind of fun costumes are we going to be getting? I don't know. That's why we're here to decide.
And what makes speculation better than with high stakes gambling? Am I right?
You know, that's call them. Well, they're called surprise mechanics.
Oh, of course. I forgot. That's how we legitimize loot boxes. Yes.
But yeah, so we're going to be each coming to the table with five Super Smash Brothers characters. And we have a nice set of rules set in place of. We can't have duplicates.
Nope.
And we have to be as pinpoint as possible. So we can't have, like, say, a franchise of something. We want to actually try to get it narrowed down to a person.
Correct.
Now, for our tiebreaker, though, we're going to do three costume packs. Now, that can be a franchise. So, for instance, like with the last reveal that we had, it was like Smash X Tekken, or Smash X Virtual Fighter, Smash X Cuphead, or something along those lines. So how did you come up with your five characters, Tom?
All right. Well, my nominees came down to two very strict criteria that I was holding. The first of which is that any of these characters have to have had a significant impact on the history of Nintendo as a gaming company. Now, that sounds kind of broad, and it's because it's true that you can have both a good and a bad impact on Nintendo's history.
That is true.
I mean,
true.
If we look at the characters of Cloud, who was added back in Super Smash Bros. On the Wii U, and Banjo-Kazooie, who was added in Fighters Pass 1, they were both major characters who were tied to some kind of breaking of agreements with Nintendo or, like, leaving Nintendo, you know? Cloud is the epitome of Square bailing on Nintendo after six Final Fantasies. You know, Final Fantasy VII was the first one to debut on another system, and Nintendo still welcomed them back with open arms. Banjo-Kazooie, that was a titan of Nintendo mascot platforming. They went to Microsoft, and Nintendo was like, "You're part of our history. We gotta bring you back in, back into the fold.
Come here. Give me a hug."
Yeah, it's okay. We're friends again. And then my second criteria is that it has to be a character that is either incredibly strongly defined and built up, like a character with such a unique and just singular identity that it makes sense, or it has to be a character that is so broad that they can effectively represent their franchise. And my two examples for that are, in the strong category, we have Joker from the Persona franchise.
Yep.
And even though he's kind of the mascot for the whole thing, Joker was such an iconic character within Persona 5 that it just made sense for him to be the representative.
Yeah, it was weird that he wasn't wearing the face paint with the smiles.
No. That's Joker.
Oh.
I'm talking about Joker.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm sorry. The one with the mask. I get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then finally, in terms of the broad franchise representatives, we have the hero from Dragon Quest, who has distinct traits, but, you know, he's so moldable that they were able to throw in those other costumes and you still get it. It's still the hero, you know?
Right.
What about you, Josh? What were your criteria for nomination?
Originally, looking at the list of people that I was choosing, I noticed that there was a common trend with them. It fell in the one of three categories. It fell into cultural importance. So, does this character have long stay in the gaming world? And, you know, did they leave an impact? How iconic the characters actually are another thing. So is this a character that you look at it and everyone's like, "I know that person. I know this person. I can't believe this. Wow." And then the third one that I thought of was shock value, because every time a Smash Brothers character comes out, it's always blowing up the internet.
Yes.
News media, like gaming news medias and stuff like that are like, "I can't believe this person's coming to Smash. This person's coming to Smash." Breaking all the comments. Yes. During Fighter Pass 1, we had, Baileth, which was the Fire Emblem character. Even though it was a Fire Emblem character, it was still getting people to comment and getting people to be focused on that game, that it still kept that game in people's minds. And mm-hmm. that's where I'm looking at all these characters here. And I don't know about you, but I'm having a hard time with my list. I have 22 characters on my list that could be making it into the game.
Well, you have a lot more than I do. So here are the kind of rules for how we're going to throw this out. We're going to go one at a time, and we're going to try to make our best case for our candidate. And I'd say, Josh, is 2 minutes enough for each person?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And then after each person goes, I suggest we yield to each other to, offer something positive and something negative about your choice. You know, like if you offer somebody, I go, well, here's why I think you're right, but then here's why I think you're wrong, you know?
Yeah. Okay. No, absolutely.
Okay. So,
I'll let you go first since you have, less characters to choose from.
Oh, how gracious of you.
Hey,
thank you.
You know what? Just don't take any of the ones that are on my list.
Well, I'm going to start with the one that you probably expect from me and people who know me probably expect from me, but I want to get the basic one out of the way so that I can swerve you with the rest of my list. Okay. So, Nintendo has a wealth of franchises that they have not yet tapped into to put into Super Smash Bros., which is crazy to consider because of how many franchises are currently represented in this game. But this character is the main star of one of their newest franchises, and Captain Toad needs to be in Fighters Pass 2. This plucky little adventurer is just a great adaptation of an already beloved character, the best character, if we're being honest here. But you know, everyone would be like, oh, what's Toad's moveset? What does Toad do? That's the thing. Captain Toad has some unique options. He is short and stubby, so maybe he's a ground-based fighter. You know, like he's not a jumper because Captain Toad can't jump. He can rely on so many versions of items that he has in his game. You know, he's got his lucky pickaxe, he can throw turnips, he can ride his minecart. Maybe that's his side B. He minecart charges across the stage. You don't know until you try it. But I think that is a great way to get in another Nintendo representative character and to give some love to this really charming small-scale title from Nintendo. I mean, I want a Captain Toad Treasure Tracker 2, a CTTTT, and the only way we're going to get this is if we keep him alive. So put him in Smash. That's how we keep him alive.
I will agree that I thought he would be on your list, and I can understand the love for him, and I know that a lot of people love that game. I think that he would be a very unique character, and that's one thing that you've noticed about a lot of these Fighter Pass characters is they're all very unique. Their fighting styles are unique. They kind of have like a gimmick to all of their stuff. However, I think his gimmick might take him away from being in the game, which is the fact that he can't jump. How are they going to be able to translate that into a game or into a fighting game where it's so fast paced? Like, I haven't really gotten hands on too much with the game, but is there anything that he can do? Can he climb? Can he do like anything in particular to get higher, elevated? Like,
he can sometimes interact with objects that push him up higher. So that'll remain to be seen, you know, if he can pull that off. And yes, that would be an incredible obstacle to get around. But, you know, we don't know until the masters actually put it to work, you know?
That is true. That is true.
So Josh, hit me with your first shot.
So we think of the gaming greats. We think of Pac-Man. We think Mario. We think Sonic. We think Mega Man, right? We have all these iconic characters, all these iconic mascots. But one company I don't believe is actually being represented in Smash Brothers yet, and that's Activision.
Okay.
And Activision, currently the home of my boy, Crash Bandicoot.
There you go. Yes, you have a lovely prom picture with him.
He is perfect for the game. He has a unique moveset that can be used. He has the spin attack, very similar to like a Tasmanian Devil or Lynx down B, right?
Yep.
He has the cannon that shoots the Wampa Fruit out. He has a motorcycle very similar to Wario. He has the ability to jump high. His special attack could be him getting all three of the mask and then running around the screen, very similar to Sonic the Hedgehog when he becomes Supersonic or whatever that the Chaos Sonic. Crash Bandicoot deserves to be in this game. He's the only mascot that's not in this game yet. And I don't understand why. Is it because he's American?
Well, he's Australian, isn't he? Isn't the Bandicoot?
No, I understand that. But like, is it because he's Western made?
Yeah, sure. That's it's interesting. Yeah, you don't know how much Nintendo's kind of internal corporate preferences may shape who gets picked or not. But to agree with you, Crash Bandicoot was also on my list because as I said, in my criteria, you know, you have to consider the history of Nintendo, and that sometimes involves their direct competitors. You know, at the dawn of the PlayStation of the 3D polygonal era, it was Super Mario 64 versus Crash Bandicoot. Right. So yeah, I could totally see him being welcomed into this franchise as, you know, to say, hey, just like Sonic, we used to be enemies, but now we're cool.
Right. I mean, think about the iconic commercial of Crash Bandicoot standing in front of Nintendo's facility, screaming at him through the megaphone. Like, mm-hmm. It all comes full circle. They could use that in the trailer to bring him in.
Right, right. Now, the one thing I will say is I'm wondering how Nintendo feels about the fact that Crash Bandicoot 4 is coming to the Xbox and PS4 with no news of a Switch port as of right now.
Right.
So, you know, maybe they were happy to accept ports of the original trilogy updated, but, you know, who knows? Maybe their relationship with, you know, the Crash developers and the rights holders isn't perfect just yet. So that'd be my, you know?
Or they say, hey, we can't put Crash 4 on the system because the system's not powerful enough, but we'll give you him for Smash.
There you go.
That's a fair compromise.
I agree. So we'll just have to wait and find out.
So number two, Tom.
All right. So mine is going to be something I'm going to take some time to justify, but hear me out. So another big Nintendo franchise, and by big, I mean beloved, but kind of left on the shelf for a few years, is Golden Sun. Now, I firmly believe that any character who is currently in Smash Brothers as an assist trophy is never going to get an individual fighter pass character. I am pretty positive that they are not going to waste their time.
And you're talking about Isaac, right?
Well, that's yes. Isaac from Golden Sun is already in Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
I do not believe he will be made into a player character. And I'm telling all you Waluigi people to just give up because you're just going to be disappointed in the end. But the star of the Golden Sun DS title, the son of Isaac, Matthew, is a completely open character. Now, is he as beloved as Isaac? Maybe, maybe not. I am not personally someone who has experience with the Golden Sun franchise, but I could see the value in Nintendo kind of working that narrative into the announcement of the character. You know, here's Matthew to represent the entire Golden Sun franchise. He carries the legacy of being Isaac's son, and we wanted to get more spotlight on him and, you know, celebrate our love for the Golden Sun franchise. Now, admittedly, this is a long shot because maybe Matthew just doesn't have any value and Isaac was the only real mainstay from that series. But I believe that if they're going to go with Golden Sun at any point, this will probably be the best shot.
I never played Golden Sun. I know just people had such hype for Isaac to be in this, and then they announced them as an assist trophy, and everyone went, yay. But Nintendo did the Nintendo thing. Hmm. You asked for it. We'll give it to you. But you're going to get it our way. Like, they do it all the time. You want this? We'll give it to you. But we're going to do it our way. It's every single time. But yeah, I mean, I give the Golden Love people some love, I guess. And then, yeah, sure.
What about you? What's your likely/unlikely choice, Josh?
So as of recording this, it is July 9th.
Yes.
Next week, there's going to be an update coming to Smash Brothers that's going to be adding new spirits to the game. Have you read about this?
No, I have not.
Okay. So, now, Min Min was a spirit. Correct?
I assume you're telling me this. I honestly didn't finish the spirit board, but I would not be surprised if she was a spirit. So, yes, sure.
Min Min was a spirit. This next game that's going to be represented is going to be all spirits coming in next week. And that is going to be Octopath Traveler. From Octopath Traveler, when you're looking at the front cover of the game, one person stands out the most, and that is Primrose. She is the dancer in Octopath Traveler. Primrose has the most unique and probably best story in the game, and it seems like a good portion of the game is centered around her. She has knives that she can use. She has different, like, attacks that she can use to kind of stun people, which she can use to her advantage. One thing that wasn't really a part of the first wave of characters was strong female characters. Now, we have Min Min, but we need more. And that's one thing that everyone kept talking about is, where are all these female characters? Bringing in a new franchise, newer franchise, I guess, from Square Enix, from that originated on the Switch, Primrose for Super Smash Bros.
I dig it. You know, I agree with you that the Smash Brothers roster is kind of a sausage fest, and it's always good to get a diverse cast of characters in there. So yeah, I would be all about that, 100%. My only real concern is, you know, how much Nintendo sees, or how much even Square sees Octopath Traveler as a franchise.
Octodad Travel Agency.
You know, as a franchise worth putting that kind of investment in. I would honestly be more surprised, or more expectant, I should say, to see Octopath Traveler Mii costumes, personally.
Okay.
I think that's a bit more of a way to acknowledge it than develop a whole character around it. But I also like the angle you're coming at. So I say that's an interesting and unique choice that I would not be upset to see, you know, honestly at all.
Yeah, awesome. Mm-hmm. Number three.
All right. So, you know, we're talking about we have to diversify the cast. So I'm going to, like, swerve to another pick that I had a little bit further down my list. And this one should seem a bit obvious, and people have been asking for her. But, you know, let's get Shantae in there.
She was on my list.
Yeah, so because it's just such a demanded character, a character who is a small indie underdog mascot, but yet has such a passionate fan base, who has seen several new games come out in the 20 years that Shantae as a character and as a franchise has been alive. And there are two Shantae games slated to be released on the Switch within this year. There's a port of the original and a new title. They're TBA right now. I would not be surprised if COVID probably ruined the development process.
Yeah.
But what better way to promote the release of these games on the Switch than to also drop Shantae as a brand new fighter in Smash Ultimate? So yeah. Highly likely in my book that maybe we'll get Shantae.
Yeah, I think she's a really good pick. With the love that they have, and Way Forward has just been so happy to be constantly pumping out these games, and I have a good portion of them for the PS4, and I'm gonna probably pick up a good portion of them when they come out for the Switch and stuff. Yeah, I'm really excited for that. Plus they're re-releasing the Game Boy version of it on the Game Boy Color. Like, that's insane. Yeah, she has a unique band of moves that she uses in the game, and they all could translate very, very well into Smash Brothers. So I 100% agree with her for that.
Awesome. Glad we're on the same page.
I can take her off my list now.
Yes. Yeah. So I took Crash off my list. So, you know, tit for tat, tit for tat. All right. But Josh, who's your number three?
Do I want to go for one that you probably have on your list, or do I want to go for one that I don't think you have on your list?
I'm kind of curious to see how much you think you know me. Okay. So go ahead. Try me.
So, you want me to put one that's on you? No, I'm not going to do that yet. I'm going to save that towards the end.
Okay.
So this next character is going to be from a game that is going to get remade. And you know why it's going to get remade, Tom? Because Final Fantasy VII did so well.
Okay, so what game's that?
Coming straight to Smash Ultimate, Chrono from Chrono Trigger.
Oh, okay.
Look at how well Final Fantasy VII's doing. You mean to tell me that they're not going to look and say, maybe we could remake some of our older franchises? What's a great game that we have that's just laying around that we haven't done anything with since the PlayStation 1 era? Chrono Trigger, man. Like, the band of moves that Chrono has, the fact that his his final smash could be pulling in Frog or pulling in Marley or anybody like that to be able to do those two-person moves, three-person moves. Like, Chrono needs to be in Smash. And I know, yes, he's another sword character, but God, he deserves to be in it. He needs to come back to Nintendo because we haven't seen him since the Super Nintendo.
I agree that Chrono is a major piece of Nintendo history and should see some kind of representation. I don't know how I would feel about that game getting remade. That'd be a topic episode, you know, what games should get remade, if you want to do that down the road, Josh. Yeah. Because I can't imagine them remaking that, because then what if it sucks, you know? It would break my heart. Yeah. But I mean, the original will always be the original, but I don't want to get that hyped up. My one thing I will say, in, you know, as the negative, is I kind of assume that with Cloud and the hero, that Square may have all the representation it's going to get, you know? I mean, we seem to have two Capcom franchises represented. Mm-hmm. We've got two Square. I believe, how many Konami do we have? We have Snake and Castlevania.
Yeah, Castlevania. So we got three there.
Well, I mean, two characters, like two games represented.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
So I just feel like certain companies are only going to probably get two games at max. So I'll be interested to see. I would love this. Don't get me wrong. I would love it. But it kind of makes me think that Nintendo may not want to, you know, give anybody too many options in the game.
Well, there's really two main, like, big companies that aren't represented. I think it's EA and Activision are the only ones that aren't really like,
oh, poor EA.
I know. But I mean, yeah, it makes sense. But remember what Sakurai said. Sakurai said he wanted to get as many franchises as he could into the game. So
it's
one of those. We don't. Well, see, but look at Namco, right? You got Pac-Man. You have. Is it Tekken? Tekken does Namco? Or Namco does Tekken?
I believe they do. So they got fighter costumes.
Yeah, like that's the thing. You go into the fighter costumes, then you can open up to more possibilities. But
sure.
Yeah, I just would love to see him. I think he needs to be in there. He needs to come home.
I hear you. No, I hear you completely.
And we need to get Chrono Trigger on the Switch then too.
Oh, be still my beating heart.
So, number four.
Despite everything I just said, I'm about to elect another Capcom representative. But I will still include that as a disclaimer. I acknowledge that maybe it won't happen. But I think a character that we could possibly see, probably see, is the Hunter as a representative of the Monster Hunter franchise.
Oh, okay. Okay, you got me really excited because I thought you were going to say Bloodborne. And then you said Monster Hunter. And I went, But Monster Hunter was on mine too.
Yeah, I just think that this franchise has seen a lot of collaboration with Nintendo from the Wii U era onward. You know, it was a big Nintendo 3DS release. What was that? Monster Hunter Tri Ultimate, I believe.
Yep.
And the relationship is still ongoing. And Nintendo, like, didn't get Monster Hunter World, but, you know, it shows that this relationship between them is continuing. One of, if I'm wrong, please correct me, but wasn't one of the dragons or something in the spirit board map from Monster Hunter?
The Rathalos is actually a boss fight in the game.
There you go. That's what I meant. It's what were those called in the game? It's an assist trophy and a boss fight.
Yeah.
So yeah. Basically, Nintendo have been willing to show the love. I would not be surprised if, similar to the hero from Dragon Quest, like the entire Dragon Quest franchise represented by one character, we get the Hunter. And a couple of their alternate skins are just kind of alternate loadouts of what the characters could look like, representing different kind of hunters from the franchise. Because I believe they're all customizable player characters who don't really have personality. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just get a couple of the popular designs. If I'm wrong, then maybe they're unique. But that could be a candidate that I think would be likely.
Yeah, like I said, I had Monster Hunter represented on my list. I don't think it would be a hunter, though. It's like, that's the thing that really just gets me. I think they would use a Palico, which are the cat folk that carry the swords and the weapons throughout the game, too, and help you fight. Either way, I can I give the respect to it. You have the Rathalos in there, so you really should put a Hunter in there to fight it in the main story if you're doing like the basic Smash mode. Yeah, I think there's a long history between Monster Hunter and Nintendo, and I think having some representation inside there as a playable character is a huge benefit to the game and the franchise.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Heck yeah. So, Josh, take me to your number four.
I'm looking at my list, and I'm trying to narrow it down right now.
Mm-hmm.
So... Ah, screw it. I'll say it. I don't want to, but I'm going to. Okay. So we talked about Activision.
Okay.
And we talked about EA not getting the love in the two games. But there's another company, too.
Hmm.
And that's WB Games.
Okay.
Right? We got the Street Fighter characters in there. But who was the rival to Street Fighter?
Okay. I know what you're doing here.
And
go ahead.
We need Scorpion in this game. We got Terry. We got Ryu and Ken. Why can't we have Scorpion? Then you bring the trinity of fighting games together from the 90s into one fighting game in the 2020s. Like, Scorpion, you could still do his move input and his moves would be more powerful than they would normally be, like everybody else's. Or you can have the quick button, the quick like left B, down B, stuff like that to do his moves. They're just not as powerful. Very similar to Ryu and Ken. Like, I think Scorpion should get some representation. And we had M-rated games being represented with Metal Gear and Bayonetta inside this game too. So why can't we have Scorpion? He was already in a rated T game with Mortal Kombat versus DC. So why can't he be in a game that's rated E for everyone where there's just not bloodshed? It's just goofy, fun battling.
I agree that the Mortal Kombat franchise is something that should see representation, given that it had a unique history with Nintendo. And again, we're talking bad history where Nintendo, you know, viciously censored it and fans bemoaned that for a long time. I'm just going to say that I think the cons are very high, just in the sense that even like, so, okay, in terms of M-rated games, Snake's moveset and abilities were neutered in a way. If you remember his entire history within the Smash Brothers franchise,
yep.
His original hold animation was a chokehold. They were like, no, get rid of that. They demanded that none of his weapons be actual guns. They made them all explosive weapons. So even when rated M characters appear in the game, they're put under strict, you know, rule sets. And Scorpion is just all rage and anger and violence. And what's his ultimate supposed to be if it can't be a fatality? You know what I mean? What are you supposed to do to really represent the character if you can't get into the blood and gore and guts that are his foundations? So that, I think that's working highly against him.
So,
but I agree that he is a logical choice.
Let me try to counteract this, okay?
All right, yeah.
Scorpion, spear. What's so different between that and Link's chain link? Right?
Yeah.
The hook shot that he has.
Oh, yeah.
He has a teleporting move. Like, he can just go and appear behind somebody. I think there's a character that does teleportation or something like
there's several. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He has, like, the swords, very similar to, like, Kratos, that he could use against people. He can breathe fire, very similar to Bowser. So maybe his finishing move is like he takes his mask off and he just like engulfs like a big fireball or something like that in the middle of the thing and attacks a lot of people. There is ways to get around the M-rated side of him, but by utilizing other players' move abilities. So, I mean, I just want them to be represented.
That's totally fine. Just making my case, you know?
I get you. Number five.
All right, let me just ask you a question. Do you want me, you want a big swerve or do you want something pretty expected?
I mean, this is up to you. I mean, you got a lot riding on this.
Well, if I want to win the wager, I'm just going to go with the obvious.
Do it.
I kind of want to swerve you.
mean, we can make it six.
No, I'll just do the obvious, okay. And then maybe I'll tell you later off mic. So, Steve from Minecraft, you know, I think if they're gonna do any more, you know, random indie representation, not that Mojang is indie, but it's a franchise that Nintendo has really embraced. You know, they allowed cross-platform play on it. I think that was might have been one of the first major cases of them doing so.
Yeah.
And, you know, Minecraft is just an omnipresent cultural force. It's arguably one of the most important games of the of this century to date. So it would kind of just make complete sense to put him in there. Plus, he's already cartoony and stylized, so it should be easy to fit him into the world. I assume all of his moves would just be based around things you can do in Minecraft. It just seems like a home run to me.
I originally had him on my list, and I took him off just because he is pretty expected. I can get into more deeper conversation then about Minecraft in general being in Smash. I think it's going to be more of a level type thing.
Okay.
Then
I could see that too. That'd character. Be great.
Yeah. But I mean, we'll see. We'll see. Cause like you could have like Ender Dragon appear in the back of it. Like you have in certain other levels, like the interacting with the world and stuff, but
like a Final Destination tour of the Minecraft world or something right. Like that.
Yeah.
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 Whew. All right. So capping off your list, Josh, what do you got?
Man, I got a lot left. I got a lot left right
gotta
now.
Pick one. Gotta
I know,
pick one.
I know.
You got to stop overdoing your list, Josh. You always have big, huge lists that you struggle with struggle to make the cut, you know?
Screw it. Ori.
You think?
I think Ori's a great pick. It's a new Metroidvania. It's a new franchise that has seen a lot of love on the Switch. Ori, as a character, has a wonderful moveset and a wide range of different abilities that can be utilized inside the game. It fits very similar to Ness and other projectile-style characters. I think Ori is a wonderful representation of gaming in the late 2010s and currently now with the newest game arriving this year. I think you're going to see a lot more respect come from Ori because it is a critically acclaimed game. Both of them are critically acclaimed, and putting him / her into Smash would be great representation with the bond that Microsoft has with them, because like you just said with Steve from Minecraft, Ori can do the same thing too. And I think there's more abilities with Ori than you can get than Steve.
Okay. No, I like the logic behind that. I think Ori would be pretty unique and interesting. I also just kind of wonder if is that somebody Microsoft would like to put forward over maybe bigger characters that they own?
Right.
Who knows? It remains to be seen. You have to wonder what they might prioritize. But I think Ori would be a nice representation. Again, it's a gorgeously stylized character. They fit in very well in the Smash Brothers universe because everyone's very stylized in that. So, yeah, I'd be into it.
Like I said, when it came to picking out these characters, like Ori being a playable character inside of Smash Brothers would get a lot of headlines, I think.
Yeah.
Microsoft first party title or first party character inside Smash Brothers. Like same way that Joker went crazy for everybody.
Yep.
When he was announced. How is a PlayStation 5 character inside of Smash Brothers? Like or a PlayStation 4 character. This is ridiculous. It's crazy, but
absolutely. Yeah. The headlines write themselves. So I get you completely. So Josh, we did mention in brief conversations in here that we're going to talk about costumes, but I think we need to clarify because we didn't talk about what we're playing for up front.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Real quick, why do we need these tiebreakers? What's at stake here?
So overall, let's say you pick a character and that character became a playable character, a part of the fighter pass. If you win the character, you get to pick any game for me to do a let's play on Twitch and YouTube.
Yep, and you can't deny it. It's veto proof.
Correct. If I win, same thing would happen to you.
Yep. So if character one, or sorry, Min Min was character one. So if character two is Captain Toad, I'm telling you which game you got to stream. And if character three is Crash Bandicoot, you're telling me which game I got to stream. And that's correct. How it's going to go through the rest of the pass. But we're also keeping score throughout. And Josh, what's at stake for the cumulative winner for the most correct guesses of the whole Fighter Pass.
So the winner of all of this gets to pick a topic of their choosing to do on the podcast.
Absolutely. Again, veto proof. So that's what's at stake. Now, obviously, we know from the announcements that the Fighter's Pass is not going to be completely revealed and done up through the end of 2021, which is why we sprinkled the Let's Plays in between.
Correct.
So this will be a little running competition that Josh and I have between each other.
Yeah. And the nice thing is last year we did a competition when it came to E3 with predictions and stuff like that. And that all led up to a big reveal at the end. And it was one of those things. We don't have E3 this year, so this is probably the next best thing that we could do to constantly keep a competition going on throughout the next year and a half on the podcast.
I absolutely agree. I'm looking forward to seeing how this plays out. But for now, Josh, we need to get to our tiebreakers. We decided that we would also throw out some ideas for Mii Fighter costumes, just in case, you know, somehow we tie in the guessing of Fighter's Pass characters.
Yeah, so say we finish, you know, you have two characters, I have two characters. Well, neither one of us are going to win, but maybe if one of the costume packs are revealed, that would be an extra point towards us. They don't count towards a Let's Play, but that would count as an extra point towards us to be able to win the overall bet.
Absolutely. So Josh, you let me go first for the characters. I would like you to go first for the costumes.
Smash, Cross, Overwatch.
Oh,
all of your a good portion of the characters would be, you know, capable of having costumes inside the game. I'm thinking your Tracer, your Reaper, maybe Soldier 76, maybe May. But, you know, you have most of them are blaster related characters, right?
Yeah.
Some of them are projectile characters. Some of them are swords like Genji. Think about it. You can have multiple costumes for the characters inside of your Mii Fighters.
Hey, you said you wanted Activision representation. Well, there you go.
There you go.
And Nintendo's already got Blizzard representation on the console itself with Overwatch and with Diablo 3. So I could very much see this happening. I'm surprised it hasn't happened, Dan, honestly.
Yeah. I think Overwatch is like the perfect franchise to do that too.
Okay.
For your Mii Fighters. But
hey, I'm totally into that. 100%.
All right. What's your first one for costumes?
So Josh, my first costume pick is going to be Smash Brothers X Red Dead Redemption 2. Now let me explain.
Okay. Yeah.
One, to get some Rockstar representation in there. Two, it seems like M-rated games are kind of allowed to be in the conversation for Mii Fighter costumes. We just saw Fallout get some representation, so I think it's possible. And three, it's been a much reported statement that the development of Breath of the Wild 2 has been heavily influenced by Red Dead Redemption 2. So I could very easily see Nintendo giving this specific game some love as kind of like a tip of the hat and just a nice way to get some Rockstar Games representation into the franchise.
That'd be very interesting. And yeah, you mentioned about the M-rated games for costumes. Assassin's Creed was also another M-rated
There you go. Yeah.
Thing too. So, I mean, there is that representation when it comes to costumes, and it's for those games that just doesn't really fit when it comes to character wise. Now, Red Dead is a really, you know, it's just kind of out there because there's really not like, it's just going to be a cowboy outfit. Is there anything really particular about Arthur Morgan that's like, oh, that's an Arthur Morgan person? Like,
oh, Arthur Morgan's default look is very specific. His, you know, his blue shirt with his like light tan thick coat and his black leather hat. Like, if you're into Red Dead Redemption, that's Arthur's look, and it's how he's represented, you know, basically as default. I mean, you can customize Arthur, but the template for him is that look, and I think that would be very specific.
Does the character or the Mii costume come included with tuberculosis?
You get it halfway through the match if your percentage goes up to 75.
Okay. 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 Just double checking with you.
Next.
So this is number two, right? Yeah. Number two.
Yep.
Yeah. Number two. Smash, Cross, Minecraft.
Okay, so you're taking the spin.
I think Minecraft's going to get represented in costumes.
Creeper costume.
You'd have the little weird spider people type costume thing, which would be very kind of similar to like Game & Watch when it, when you think about it. I think Steve would be like, yeah, he would be your swords person because he could use a pickaxe, or he would have, you know, some sort of a weapon that he'd be able to use to it. I think Minecraft's going to be represented that way because that's when you're going to get the Minecraft level as well.
But I dig it. Okay.
I don't think it would make people as upset if it was a costume instead of an actual character, playable character.
Okay. I get that completely. So totally down. My next selection is very similar to something you just did. Smash Brothers X Chrono.
Okay.
And I specifically mean the Chrono franchise. It's super, super easy to get sword fighters and brawlers out of this franchise. Mm-hmm. And, you know, dip into Trigger and Cross. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Celebrate the whole scale. You have Chrono as a sword fighter. You've got Marley as a brawler. You've got Robo as a projectile-based, you know, Mii character.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are characters in Chrono Cross that are interesting in their own right, but I've never played it. So
yeah.
I think that is a high probability for costumes, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that's a good alternative. I mean, it still isn't Chrono.
I'd rather see him. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But if it came down to it, any sort of representation of him inside the game would be appreciated.
I got you. Yep.
Do I take the most likely, or do I take the one that would make Tom happy?
I think you need to just play to win, Josh.
I know. It's all about the game and how you play it.
Oh, hold on. I got some water here. I'm not gonna spit out in front of the microphone, but anyway, go on.
Smash Cross Portal. Your character is Shell. You're a gunner, and that's really it. You get the orange pants, and then the tank top, and then you'll have the portal gun as your blaster.
I could see it. Yeah, I got nothing. Yeah, that's super likely.
I mean, especially with like how they just did Vault Boy, like you can do just that one particular look. Because when you think of Portal, like you think of the gun, and then you think of Shell herself. Like,
I get you. Yeah, I got nothing for or against that. It's just like, yeah, that just makes complete sense. Like, yeah, of course. Why wouldn't they?
Right. And then your number three, Tom.
My number three. You know, this, like you for your list, I'm struggling with this one because I really don't know. I don't know what still qualifies and what's still good enough and what would make that big of a smash in Smash. Except to say that maybe Nintendo will sully themselves and go Smash Brothers X Fortnite.
So on my list of characters in the game, I had a Fortnite, the default skin. And the reason being is I think that would have been a good, unique character. They could build like walls up to block people. They can use the pickaxe. They can use the weapons and like the
and glider and shit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like they could use the little spring thing to the trampoline. They go up into the air. That would be their up B. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it would be awesome. Well, I don't know if it would be super awesome to have as a costume. I think he would more translate toward like we were talking about with the other ones, like this might be one that would translate better to a character than a costume, because like what are some unique costumes for Fortnite?
I mean, it's always changing season to season. Mm-hmm. So I think you would just have to go back to the beginning. You could get, like I said, default Fortnite guy skin. You could do the Tomato Man, whatever his name was.
Yeah.
Get ready for all the teenagers watching to assault me for not knowing his name. Terry Tomato or whatever. But you know, yeah, I could totally see
the banana that suit.
Sure, I believe that. John Wick, you know, why not? But yeah, you know, just I could see that being an easy way for Nintendo to acknowledge Fortnite, you know. Mm-hmm. Throw them some costumes. So
Yeah. So there you have it. As you can see here, there's my top five and Tom's top five. And underneath, I have our three costumes each for us.
Boom, boom.
Only time will tell. We got a year and a half left, and yep. we got to get through 2020 first before we can do anything, really. Because 2020 is, it's been rough. So
very rough.
Hopefully it's going to be better in the Smash world. And until next time, this has been Josh.
And Tom.
And we'll see you in the future. Well, that's all the time that we can spend in the past, so thanks for listening. Subscribe to A Cast of the Past on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. And stay up to date with A Cast of the Past by making sure you follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. There you can be the first to know when new episodes drop, as well as joining in on discussions on all things gaming. And until next time, we'll see you in the future.